Welcome to Curiosity Public Podcast. I'm Dutch.
I'm Jules.
Elon.
And yes, another episode of our podcast. We've got a couple of interesting topics today. We're going to talk a little tequila. We're going to talk a little Irish whiskey. And before we do that, we're going to talk about what is in our glass. Dylan, why don't you start us off?
Sure. You know, I'd love to lead. So I am drinking something very special. I think you know.
Casa Dragones.
Middleton.
Ah. Whoa.
Vintage release. It says finest Irish whiskey bottled in 2019. And the master distiller is Brian Nation.
Wow, where'd you get that?
I think he left. I think he left in 2020. This was acquired by none other than Super Dutch, who somehow is always lucky and he gets to go to these bourgeois Costcos that have all these kind of things. I mean, you know, the regular folks, like me, right? Yeah, just like me. My Costco.
I am not a Costco member.
Officially. Jules goes to Sam's Club, but you know, like I'm not
officially a member of that either.
My proletariat
officially.
My proletariat Costco. You know, I think the best thing we have is like a Jameson, like a base Jameson, and that's pretty much it. And sometimes they'll have, if we're lucky, we get the Costco brand Kirkland Irish whiskey.
There's probably another section that you don't know about where they keep all the high end stuff.
You mean at like the end cap where everyone's meant to see it, but Dylan walks right past it.
You're too focused on getting to the electronics section that you miss it every time.
Hey, it's that same place that I saw that.
That new micro shredder, dude.
Yeah, so I'm trying this Middleton Very Rare. Thanks to Dutch, who was able to acquire this. He messaged me. He's like, "Hey, this thing is here," and I go, "Oh, get me one." Yeah. And so he was able to get me one.
It was funny though. Like I bought those thinking they must be the 2020 because they just got in a bunch of them. Right. And then I get to my car and I'm like, I should open these. And I opened it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's 2019. What the But from what I can tell, there's not
sitting
a huge
in the warehouse,
variance.
Man.
Yeah, I am excited for us to. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I don't know if we can submit this into the Ultimate Spirits competition. I wish we could. This is one of those things where we need to make it run it through the
exception.
I think there's enough bottles. I think there's enough.
We got to run this through the gauntlet because I'm really curious what you.
I did try that bottle and I agree. I think it'll be a fun one to go through because it's, you know, I was actually thinking about this the other night, which is drinking something at 80 proof like that Middleton is. I feel like it's getting harder and harder to excel at a lower proof, but there are some spirits that can do it. You know, mm-hmm. We had Tears of Yorona, which was, I think it's like 84 or something. It's not just 80, but I mean, that to me is becoming more and more impressive when something can come in at 80 proof and just be like, whoa, there's a lot going on here.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
that will be a fun one to do. Jules, what are you sipping on?
Well, I got something equally, if not more special because I have a bottle kill that is about to happen of my Calumet. Long time coming, Calumet bourbon whiskey.
Wow, there's going to be space on elf for something new, dude.
I know. I'm going to have to open something new. Here we go. I think this is...
That's a big bottle kill, man.
That's not right. Well, let's see. That's nothing, man.
That's nothing. Andy almost dropped it.
Put it all over my keyboard.
Yeah, that's a full bottle. A full glass. That's a full glass.
That's a proper pour.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Cool. Well,
for a bottle kill.
Since we are wait, we should honor this moment.
I know, dude.
Calumet 12.
I mean, something new's coming up on the table, guys.
I'm excited.
I can't wait.
For all you longtime listeners,
it's going to be Langer's lemonade from this forward.
No, it's his backup bottle of Old Fitz.
Wow. Yeah.
A new one is coming. A new one is coming. I'm kind of miss this actually. I'm not going to miss it that much. I just smelled it.
You'll get over that one quick.
Just nosed it.
So I am going for some tequila since we're going to talk tequila, and I'm going for the old school green label Centenario and
coveted green. Everything is blue right now.
Yeah, don't waste your time on the blue
rare bottle.
If you ever come across a bottle of the green label, you should pick it up. Do yourself a favor. It's absolutely exquisite, and I was really happy to be able to pick up half a case of it during lockdown, believe it or not.
Wow.
So one of these bars that was selling off a bunch of stock, and our friend Dr. Oju was like, "Hey, you want some of this?" I said,
"Get on it."
Yep. As many bottles as we can get. Fantastic stuff. So, yes, tequila.
Everyone's favorite topic.
While he's drinking.
I had to get a sip in there before I kept the topic going. Yeah, everybody's favorite topic. Well, one of my favorite topics, but there was a very interesting article I sent around about tequila additives. I don't know what this group is. It calls itself the International Tequila Academy. And I think it's, you know, it seemed like suspicious to me. Because
sounds legit to me. They even got a legit logo. Wow.
Yeah. And this guy sells courses about tequila and all that, all the trappings of something being.
Oh my God. That sounds like a Scotch version. I mean, like there's a Scotch version, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's all these like fake schools that supposedly gives you something. I mean, like
right.
A break.
But I gotta say, I clicked on this article. I think somebody posted it on a tequila Reddit forum I'm on. And I read it. I looked at it. And I was like, wow, actually, this is actually a really good article.
Yeah.
So we'll try to put it maybe in the show notes wherever we can. If you don't see it, then it's Jules's fault that it didn't make it.
I did copy the link.
Okay, good. But it's basically all about tequila additives. And it calls it a complete guide. And I've got to say, it's actually pretty complete. And it kind of goes through the different kinds of additives that are used, the ones that are not disclosed, the ones that do have to be disclosed, and, you know, the kinds of additives. So there's basically these two categories of mellowing additives and flavoring additives. And there's a ton of these things that do not need to be disclosed for tequila. We'll get into some of those maybe and just that whole concept. But the biggest bombshell from reading this article that I came across was we typically talk about how up to 1% of the bottle or batch can be additives. And the way apparently legally it has been interpreted is 1% of each of these categories of additives can be included. So there's actually four main categories.
But yeah, so it actually could be 4%.
Yeah, so it can actually be up to 4%, which is insane to me. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is.
But we can talk a little bit about each of these. I mean, I find it fascinating, these mellowing additives, especially caramel coloring, oak extract, glycerin is a big one. I know that. And these are undisclosed. Yeah. So a mellowing additive is completely undisclosed. And then sugar syrup, right? Which is insane to me that that's classified as a mellowing additive and not a sweetener. Right. So it can be called multiple things in this whole set of nomenclature that they have for tequila. You know, the one thing I think that we should point out is that a Blanco tequila can't have any of this stuff.
Right.
And that's one of the things I've been noticing. Completely raw. Right. What I've been noticing about some of these new brands, and Casa Dragones is a great example, is some of them don't have Blancos. They have Jovens that look like Blancos.
Right.
But they have to call it a Joven because there's something else in it that they can't call it a Blanco. The LeBron James one, I think, falls into that camp.
Lobos.
The Lobos 1707. So a lot of these brands, I'm always suspicious if there is no Blanco. That's usually a little bit of a warning sign.
But when we tasted that, we were confused, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was a finish with that too, which is abnormal.
Yeah, part of me thought this felt like an additive, but I couldn't be sure with regards to the sherry. The other thing was, I think there's a bunch of people who kept saying that it had no additive, right? There are people online that kept saying there's no additives. I don't know. I mean, the company hasn't come out and said it. In our tasting, I think it wasn't like the glycerin, the thing that coated the tongue in a horrible way, like the Sincoro. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to wonder, right? You wonder.
Yeah, you definitely do. And I should clarify here, and when I'm looking at the article again, that 4% is actually specifically for the mellowing additives. Those four that we listed, the caramel coloring, the oak extract, the glycerin, and the sugar syrup, those are the four that used to people just say you could have 1%.
1% total.
But it's 1% for each of those four, which is insane.
So it could be up to 4%.
Up to 4%, yeah.
Ooh.
Whew, just insane. Yeah, bizarro. I mean, the flavoring additives.
Which is now making me rethink, though, a lot of the tequila I've had before where I thought nothing was added, or, you know, where it didn't taste like it anyway. So now it makes you wonder.
Yeah. One of the other things they point out is that, you know, the NOM, every bottle on the back of it will have an NOM. And there's also a nomenclature that says CRT on there right next to the NOM. It's on every bottle. And I think that's supposed to be the agency that's like for quality control. And this article talks about how they test samples, right?
Right.
So, but they only really test for methanol and sulfur and heavy metals and things like that that are very harmful. They don't actually have specific checks for artificial sweeteners, aromas, and things like that. So
Right.
There's just not a good system. Now, it also talks about these third-party verified additive-free program that Tequila Matchmaker actually came up with. If you want to look stuff up about tequila, I wouldn't pay too much attention to the community ratings there, but the panel ratings are usually pretty good. And the guy that runs it, Grover.
No, man, it's like, you know, with Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. You got to see both, you know? You have to understand the contrast.
I agree, but yeah. But anyway, they started their own additive-free program, and they actually physically go and inspect the production line. They taste at various periods along the production line to confirm that there are no additives. And they basically give these little stickers to the companies that pass everything, and they can now be part of this verified additive-free. And the number of brands are growing, and that's great to see from my perspective. I mean, at the very least, I'd like some more transparency. So
this is why I was correct. Let me repeat. I was correct in that.
Say it again.
Wait, one more time. Maybe you forgot because you're laughing or you didn't hear. I was correct that we should have.
Oh, I heard. My ears are burning.
We should have just bottles with a white label, right? That folds out like a transformer into a 5-foot by 5-foot white page that tells you everything that went into it. I mean,
five foot by five foot.
I mean,
like bigger than you. You know,
it would be diagonally. It would be wonderful. It would be wonderful because you would know exactly what's going in there. I don't care about the outside. You must look within. It's what's inside that counts. So,
well, what we need to do is some mass spectrometry and like have the
full
available for everything we taste.
I agree.
That would actually be very interesting, actually. And doing get some data scientists on it and have them analyze the mass spectrometry of everything we've reviewed and then correlate it with the score and then figure out like what it is, like what specific things are making our scores go up. And then we isolate those, we figure out how to get all of those components into a spirit and we make our own. And then we've got the perfect spirit.
Wait. I think we can pull some strings and go get the supercomputers involved.
Let's try it, dude. But we need the mass spectrometer.
I mean, like what? What are they using it for? Weather patterns? I mean, come on, give me a break. You don't need that. We want to know what's in the spirit.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Anyway, but honestly, so is it really that important in the grand scheme of things?
I do.
I mean, I get it for the connoisseur.
Knowing what's in it.
Knowing what's in it. But I mean, for the average... Like, no, man, they're not going to care.
What did you say? What did you say?
Dude, you're going to have to bleep that.
Or average.
Oh, my God. That is so...
Do they really care? I mean,
come on. Jules, you're canceled. Do we really care?
Jules, you're going to get canceled.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag canceled for sure.
Okay, yes. The average consumer, that's the way you're supposed to say it, Jules. That's the version. Oh, wait, that's the wrong way to put it, too.
Dutch canceled. Everything's bleep. I think Dutch is going to get canceled before me.
My bleep is going to be worse than yours. Yeah, you're right. Okay, yes. But what we try to do is to make people's palates more sophisticated, right?
I get our job. I'm just saying, I get why we are looking for it. But I mean, do people really care about the non-disclosed additives bit? I mean, because I feel like the majority are just like, if they like it, they like it.
Yeah,
if
I see like videos again. There's like millions of videos going like, oh my God. Michelle Jordan's Sincoro
is amazing. And like, you know, and they're not even mixing, right?
But it's
they're just drinking it straight.
Dude, it's like people raving over a McDonald's burger and they've never had like a homemade gourmet burger.
I don't know. McDonald's, I don't know.
Never had Dylan's.
Who gets a homemade gourmet burger?
You know Dylan's what? Listen, you know me. I like stovetop, right? And someone could spend like the next 12 hours making stuffing.
So you got your White Castle frozen burgers.
Yeah, you know, they could be like drying out the breadcrumbs and all that kind of stuff. I don't care. Stovetop wins. We should do a blind on the show.
And that's proof in the pudding right there.
Yeah, I want a blind.
Mr. Dylan is eating stovetop. And therefore, he's cool with all the non-disclosed additive tequilas out there.
Dutch, I want you to ask our in-house.
Too bad this is not being like a video recorded because Dutch is like fuming, folks. Like he is so red.
Dutch, upset. I want a challenge. I want you to find the best of the best of the best stuffing, mom and pop or handmade. And I want to put it against stovetop stuffing. And I guarantee stovetop will win.
Well, we're going to pair the stovetop with Sincoro tequila. And we'll prepare the homemade one with some Fortaleza. And then we'll see which one does better.
All right, stovetop, if you're listening, I want some free boxes.
Okay, so my analogy might have been misplaced with this crew. Maybe I should have done like Chef Boyardee versus like, you know, fine dining ravioli or something. But
I love Tostino's. It's a dollar. It's a dollar. Tostino's. Hey.
Wait, wait, what was the $1 pizza? $1 frozen pizzas?
I thought that was, yeah. Isn't that Tostino too?
Maybe it was.
I just remember the crust was hollow. Like there was air in the middle. They made it look like it was thick, but it was just air.
Oh, man. Wow. So we were talking about tequila.
Yeah.
And okay. So Jules does have a good point that the average consumer may not care about a lot of this stuff. I think they should. I think it does get to the heart of what it means to create these spirits and the difference between somebody trying to craft a work of art and somebody that's making a McDonald's burger. So there we go. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, and hopefully like, you know, with what the folks at who are doing the, what is it? The additive-free tequila verification program. Is that what it's called?
Verified additive free.
Yeah. I mean, and hopefully they'll make waves in that, right? I mean, yeah. that will help, you know, improve the quality and then also just get the proper labeling.
Well, just the mere fact that they've gotten the buy-in from some pretty good brands.
Right.
And those brands are not going to have
that. That's a good step. Yeah.
And when people go to the liquor aisle and they look like, oh, look, these say additive free. Does that mean there's additives in some of these other ones? And then maybe people will start thinking, you know, people care about that stuff. And,
totally.
You know, people look for GMO and like organic stickers on things. And maybe they're going to start looking for this one too. We'll see.
I think their big failure point right now is that it doesn't have non in it, because it should have a prefix of non, because that's what's going to grab your attention when it's on the shelf. I mean, dude, I'm only looking at grabbing like non-GMO stuff now because it says non-GMO.
And so two comments. First of all,
this is like verified additive free, like just makes me more confused.
Yeah, I am shocked. I'm appalled that Dutch is racism, or is it something against McDonald's?
Placism.
I mean, like, this is...
That's
this
placism.
This is elitist garbage. This is garbage.
Anti-corporate America.
McDonald's is America, all right? So...
America loves its additives, dude.
I think the... What is
America
it?
America does love its additives.
It's like our former president's favorite food. Come on, right? I mean, it's got to mean something. So, and then second thing, right? I forgot what I was going to say.
Great segue into Irish whiskey, guys.
Exactly.
Which is what we're going to talk about now. Okay. Yeah, that was a train wreck. But there was a very interesting article in, again, one of our favorite publications, The Spirits Business. I just realized this is from like 2 years ago. You know, on their front page,
it is.
Articles from like 2019. Because I go on there, I'm like, oh, that's an interesting article. But I think it's actually still relevant. And it basically is talking about how there needs to be a little bit more transparency with Irish whiskey, mainly because there are not that many distilleries and there are a lot of brands. And people go to Ireland and say, hey, I want to tour all the distilleries. And they get there and they're like, wait, there's like six. I mean, I think there's more than that. But like, there's so many brands. Where are all these brands distilled? And there's not a lot of transparency in that. So, I mean, I do think that's interesting. You know, nobody is surprised by sourcing. I think anybody that's been in the spirits game for long enough realizes that there's tons of sourcing of stuff that goes on with Scotch, but there's tons of Scotch distilleries. So, you know, there's still a lot to see when you go there and want to do a tour. Same thing with bourbon, but Ireland, I think maybe doesn't have quite as many. I don't know, Jules, you're our resident Irish person. What say you?
When I did live in Ireland, I mean, the biggest thing obviously was Guinness, and that's what most people did look for. But I did also go to the Jameson distillery, which is pretty cool. But, you know, I also lived in Ireland at a time when I think like the alcohol tourism wasn't as big, apart from because like everyone, like the locals were even telling me like the place you got to go to is the Guinness factory. And, you know, and then I would ask, well, what about Jameson? Because that's also still within the Dublin city center area. And they're like, it's not as cool, not as interesting. Mm. You
raise a really good point when you, I don't think you realized it, but the Jameson distillery is Middleton.
Middleton, yeah.
Right. Makes Jameson, Middleton, Powers, Redbreast, all the spots.
Yeah.
So I think that's exactly illustrating one of the points, which is...
Yeah, and that's what was interesting. Like, so even the locals aren't really promoting it, or maybe not even aware. Maybe it could have just been the small group that I, you know, was interacting with in Dublin City Center, but I thought that was fascinating. Like, when visiting the Jameson Distillery, it actually was not busy at all compared to, like, the Guinness factory. You know, so that definitely is a thing. But that said too, like I did do a Northern Ireland trip, and I got to go see the old Bushmills distillery.
Oh, nice.
And that was really cool. And there was actually a lot more people visiting that. So I feel like, I think with that, and that's a big brand name, obviously, I think owned by Diageo now. But and at the time, like it was, yeah, I mean, it was one of the busier ones.
Right. A lot of this has to do with just kind of the history of Irish whiskeys.
It's a whiskey.
It's a whiskey.
It is a whiskey.
They had a lot of, in their past, they had a lot of distilleries, but then they only had two. They only had two, I think, by the 1970s, which is the Bushmill and the Old Middleton. That's all they had. And then that was, I think, owned by like one company. So essentially, it was like just one company that was distilling everything. But then I think there was a resurgence 20, 30 years ago, I think, maybe. And then more of these distilleries started to come about. I think it started with like Cooley and then kind of moved with other ones. I think they said that these days, I think there's like about 32 distilleries or so. I think more are being added.
But a lot of these are craft, right?
Right. They're
so
craft,
a lot of the brands
so
that
not
we
the big
find,
ones, yeah,
yeah, a lot of the brands that we would find here are from like
from
four
one,
or five
like
different,
mega, right.
Most of them are from two, but there's like, you know, people might recognize three or four different distillery products. Right.
So, like I said, I'm drinking the Middleton Very Rare.
Right. Right. At least that has the distillery name in it, right?
Right. Exactly. So, I go for the source, right? Oh, you know, yeah. And let me just say, I remembered what I was going to say. You guys keep talking about non-GMO and whatever. Because everybody eats organic foods and stuff like that, I purposely don't eat that. I want a sticker that says non-organic food products. And I just basically...
Is that why you're flashing the Impossible Burger in front of us right now?
You know,
you want the most engineered.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. It's the dumbest thing for me. You're like, oh, all these people are like, yeah, I want like plant-based product. You want something that's plant-based but processed to the end of the earth.
They had to lobby the FDA for some of those ingredients because they weren't considered food.
I know.
Like, that's like the most absurd thing in the world.
It is so ridiculous.
Yeah, but no one's claiming that they don't have transparency.
What are you talking about?
Whatever.
I mean, it's fully disclosed.
I just want all the
going into it.
Versus, I just want all the vegans to see the death count that the combine harvester has that, you know, collects all of the grain that goes into that thing. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that I wish there was a sticker that says it's non-organic. I'd be the ones that, you know, like Joel said, right? Yeah, it's like not organic.
Non-additive. I need the non.
No, I want non-organic foodstuffs.
Dylan wants the double negative.
There you go.
Well, I think we exhausted that non-issue and basically had nothing to say about Irish whiskey or tequila in this episode that was worth consuming.
Well, can I bring up
understanding of what needs more transparency with Irish whiskey?
Well, if you're done with what you're trying to talk about,
with the podcast, Dylan has something to say.
Can I talk about the Five Guys burger? How they didn't pay me back? I'm gonna bring this up every single time.
We're gonna hear this every episode.
This is gonna be like what's his face? Bill Maher had hit every episode. He was like, how many days until California approves my solar?
Right.
And he was doing it. And then finally, like, people were watching and he finally got it approved like last week.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
The right people were watching.
Yeah, exactly. So Dylan, maybe the right person at Five Guys is listening.
Yeah, I want my money.
They're totally not. But.
No, they're not. And it's probably nothing to do with Five Guys. It like has everything to do with like the delivery company.
I will say this, Dylan. If you had ordered that from McDonald's, you would have gotten your shake.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. So, you know.
I will concede that point.
There you go. McDonald's know what's up.
And
their shake machines are always working.
Yeah. And they got a backup. That's the thing. They always have a backup.
Well, yeah, my machine's connected to the internet. Yeah, right, Five Guys.
Wow. All right, Jules, take us out.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you. And if you haven't yet, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. We've got new content up there weekly where we do reviews and drink throughs. If you like what we do, want to help us out, the best way to help us out is through our subscription membership program, Curiosity Private, which is also on YouTube. As always, stay safe, stay healthy.
Stay curious.